Again, and open to John's Gospel, chapter 14. John chapter 14, we began our study of this chapter last Lord's Day, and we'll conclude it this evening. And just so we keep in our minds the full sweep of this passage, you'll remember all of this is taking place in the upper room. That account began at the beginning of chapter 13, wherein Jesus stooped low and he washed the disciples' feet, and we thought about how that was a beautiful living parable of what Jesus would do at the cross. And Jesus has told the disciples some disturbing news. He told them that he was leaving them, and where he was going, they could not come. And this greatly troubled them. And so this is Jesus. I think we need to, as one writer put it, to appreciate the pastoral problem that Jesus was facing here. And so he gives us teaching about the Holy Spirit, but it comes to us in a very pastoral way. It's given to comfort troubled disciples. And so let's give our careful hearing to this passage, John 14, beginning in verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be with you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world will see me no more, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered him, If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Whoever does not love me does not keep my words. And the word that you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. You heard me say to you, I am going away, and I will come to you. If you loved me, you would have rejoiced, because I am going to my Father, for the Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it takes place, so that when it does take place, you may believe. I will no longer talk with you much, for the ruler of this world is coming. He has no claim on me, but I do as the Father has commanded me, so that the world may know that I love the Father. Rise, let us go from here. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading and the preaching and hearing of his word this evening. I think for many Christians, and maybe it's true for you, that the Holy Spirit remains as this nameless, kind of faceless person of the Trinity. There's something about the Father that we can envision. We can picture what it is to be a father, and there is something about the Son, Jesus Christ. We can picture him as a man, and the Father and the Son have a face to us. But when it comes to the Holy Spirit, he seems to be this distant, ambiguous person of the Trinity. And I can remember a somewhat humorous incident in my own life that I think demonstrates that sometimes Reformed Christians are criticized for forgetting the work of the Holy Spirit. I was pastoring in another denomination, and I had just started seminary at our Reformed Presbyterian Seminary. And one of the elders of that church found out, and he, in a very confrontational way, came up to me and said, "You better tell those people down there that there's a Holy Spirit." And after that, he proceeded to accuse the seminary of having a picture of Jesus right next to a picture of John Calvin. So for some reason, he didn't like the seminary very much. But this illustrates a point that many Christians look at the Holy Spirit as being this faceless figure, and I think sometimes as Reformed Christians, maybe we do not focus on the work of the Holy Spirit as much as we should. And I think the question then is, how do we put a face to the Holy Spirit? How do we know what he is like and what he does? Well, the short answer to that, that Jesus brings to us in this passage, Jesus is saying on the one hand that he actually reveals what the Holy Spirit is like. And on the other hand, he's saying when I send the Holy Spirit, he's going to reveal me to you. In other words, the point that he is making is that everything that his disciples had in him, they were going to have in the Holy Spirit. And this comes out in this simple word, another. Jesus promises another helper. And there are two words in Greek for another, and this one here means another of the same kind. Now again, we need to appreciate the pastoral problem here. We need to appreciate what the disciples were feeling. They felt a tension that we often feel. Jesus was leaving them, and they were thinking that their relationship with him was going to be diminished. And who of us in our lives have not thought at some point, boy, I wish I could have been there on earth with Jesus. I wish I could have been there and seen him face to face. I wish I could have seen him in the flesh. And Jesus here teaches us is striking. He's saying, you should rejoice that I am going to my Father. He says to these disciples who were so disheartened that he was going away, he said, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not, the Helper will not come to you. In other words, Jesus is teaching that the Holy Spirit's ministry, his ministry in our lives brings a greater intimacy with Jesus than we would have had if we were with him in the upper room. And Jesus is preparing his disciples. He wants them to welcome and understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And this is really how we talk often about the presence of the Lord with us in worship. His presence with us at the Lord's Supper. And the question is, how can that be? If Jesus is in heaven, how is he present with us? Well, here's the answer. Through the Holy Spirit. In verse 19, Jesus says, yet in a little while the world will see me no more. In other words, he was ascending to his Father. But you will see me. He's saying, I'm going away from you, and yet you're going to know me in a deeper and more intimate way through the Helper. Everything that you have in me, you will have in the Holy Spirit. And this addresses really the same problem that we have seen addressed in the book of Revelation. What do we do as a church who lives in the days between the resurrection and ascension of Jesus Christ and his second coming? We're the church without the physical presence of Jesus Christ. How do we overcome our sin? How do we overcome fear? How do we function as Christians without the physical presence of our Lord? Here's the answer. The intimate ministry of the Holy Spirit, the one who in Revelation is pictured again and again in terms of his sevenfold power, his sufficient power to sustain us and keep us. And I noted this morning how that vision in Revelation that we looked at really pictures the fulfillment of this promise. Remember how the Lamb had on him seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, the Holy Spirit, sent out into all the earth. That's the fulfillment of the promises that Jesus gives here, that he would send us another helper. And we can glean at least four things about the ministry of the Holy Spirit, four things that the Holy Spirit does to minister us and to sustain us and to deepen our relationship with the Lord. And the first of all, and I struggled with the order of these things, I've switched them around many times, but let's first think about the Holy Spirit as your teacher. Now remember, Jesus said he was going to send another helper, another of the same kind. And do you remember how in chapter 13, verse 13, Jesus said, "You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am." For 3 years, Jesus had been their teacher. And now he was going away, and the question was, who is going to teach us? Who is going to teach us the deep things of God? And here we are shown that the Holy Spirit is indeed another teacher of the same kind. Look at verse 36. "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things." Here again, we're being shown that everything we have in Christ, we have in the Spirit. Here is Jesus revealing what the Spirit is like, and then he sends the Spirit, and the Spirit reveals to us what Jesus is like. And as our teacher, the Holy Spirit, first, he teaches you the truths of God's Word. Excuse me. We frequently talk about the illuminating work of the Holy Spirit, the enlightening work. That is, he enlightens our eyes and he gives us understanding and wisdom so that we might understand God's Word. He will teach you all things, and he will bring to remembrance all that I have said to you. And then in verse 17, Jesus calls him the Spirit of Truth. This is the Holy Spirit's ministry. He teaches us the truths of God's Word. He opens our eyes that we might understand. And what a comfort that should be to us. We read God's Word, and so often we have no idea what it means. And yet Jesus has sent us the Holy Spirit to teach us these truths, to enlighten our eyes. That's why even in our worship services, before we preach, before the Word is read, we are seeking the blessing of the Holy Spirit to open our eyes, to give us understanding. And I hope that that encourages you. I mean, sometimes we can think, you know, I'm not a great reader. I don't have very good reading comprehension. I struggle to understand the Scriptures. Jesus has given you a helper. Seek Him. This is His ministry to you. This is His promise that He will open the eyes of your understanding. But we also see that He teaches you of the depth of God's love and the nature of your relationship with Him. Look at verse 20. Jesus says, when the Holy Spirit is sent, that in that day you will know that I am in my Father. Now that is a running theme throughout John's Gospel. Jesus again and again talks about that intimate relationship between He and His Father. And if you think about it, the opening verse of the Gospel emphasizes it. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word, Jesus, in the beginning was face to face with the Father in a relationship of intimacy, a relationship of love. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, "For this reason the Father loves me, that I lay down my life for the sheep." It's as though Jesus is saying to the disciples that, look, it may appear that on the cross, when my Father turns His back on me, it may appear that He doesn't love me, but let me tell you, it is at that point that His love comes to its greatest expression, as I lay down my life for the sheep. Now, why is this repeatedly emphasized? Well, there is no greater, stronger love than this. There's no greater love than the love that exists between each person of the Trinity. And here is why this is emphasized. Jesus says, "In that day you will know that I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you." In other words, Jesus is saying, that same love that exists between me and my Father exists between me and you. It exists between my Father and you, between the Spirit and you. God could not possibly love you any more than He does. That same eternal love that exists in the Trinity is ours. And the Holy Spirit comes and He teaches us of the depth of this love. He unites us to Christ. He brings us communion with Him. Now, do you see how this would have been a comfort to the disciples? They thought that their relationship with Jesus was going to be diminished. And Jesus is saying, you have no idea. The Spirit is going to come and bring a greater intimacy. He's going to teach you of the depth of my love for you. The Holy Spirit also comes and He teaches you of the peace and safety that you have in Christ and in the Father. Look at verse 27. "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid." See, Jesus brings us peace by His Spirit through His presence that is manifest by the Holy Spirit. He says in verse 21, "And I love Him and will manifest myself to Him." The Holy Spirit will bring us a ministry of assurance and show us the peace and safety that we have in Christ. But secondly, the Holy Spirit is our counselor, or our helper, as it is translated in the ESV. Well, four times in the upper room, Jesus calls the Holy Spirit the Parakletos. And some of you have no doubt heard the Holy Spirit called the Paraclete. That's the word that is used here, and it has a broad range of meaning. It's translated here, helper. It can mean advocate or intercessor. But the word seems to carry with it the idea of someone who defends you. Someone who advocates for you. And the Holy Spirit is called another Parakletos, another helper. And guess who else is called a Parakletos? 1 John 2:1, John writes, "My little children, I am writing these things to you so that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate, a Parakletos, with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous." Just as Jesus is your advocate, the Holy Spirit is your advocate as well. And in our culture, when we get into trouble, we are accused of a crime, what do? We hire a lawyer. We go and hire a counselor. But in ancient times, in Jesus' day, you didn't hire a lawyer. You went and you got your best and closest friend, and he would represent you in court. And what is striking is that later in the upper room, Jesus says, "You are my friends." Jesus is saying that's the kind of intimacy and relationship that we have together, that we are friends. And in the Holy Spirit, Jesus is saying, "I am sending you another friend. And he will be your counselor. He will represent you." And so we have an advocate in the presence of God, and in the Holy Spirit, we have an advocate in our own hearts, in our own lives. An advocate who defends you when you are guilty. An advocate who pleads Christ's sacrifice and his righteousness. An advocate who defends you when you are tempted. Who defends you when you were falsely accused by Satan. An advocate who will defend you and give you the words you need if you were ever persecuted. And thirdly, and this can, what is related to the Holy Spirit's counseling ministry, the Holy Spirit enables your faith and obedience. I can remember for years reading this passage and being struck by the seemingly odd placement of Jesus' calls to keep his commandments. They're interspersed, they're interwoven into this chapter. Verse 15, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Verse 21, "Whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me." Verse 23, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word." And we could read that and it sounds a bit awkward and we wonder, how does that fit? It almost seems like Jesus is randomly inserting these calls to obedience. We know that nothing in the Bible is random. Rather, these commandments fit perfectly because the Holy Spirit's ministry in us enables us to our faith and obedience. He is the one who enables us to trust. He is the one who strengthens our faith. He is the one who enables our obedience. And notice the word that Jesus used, keep. The word carries with it the idea of guarding, holding on tightly to something. And it envisions both faith and obedience. Think about the commands that Jesus has given them just recently in the upper room. He says, "Believe in me. Love one another. Follow my example. Follow my servant's example. Don't let your hearts be troubled." it is the Holy Spirit who enables us to believe and to trust and to obey. And finally, and again related, and I'm indebted to Sinclair Ferguson for this one. I heard him refer to the Holy Spirit this way in a pastor's conference. The Holy Spirit is the homemaker. He's the homemaker. Do you remember how at the beginning of chapter 14, Jesus comforted his troubled disciples by talking about home? He talked about how they will have a place in his Father's house. He said in verses 2 and 3, "In my Father's house there are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Now, while that is a beautiful expression of Christ's love for us, and while that no doubt offered comfort to the disciples, it did leave some unanswered questions. The question would have been, what do we do in the meantime? You're going away, you're preparing a place for us, and you say you're going to come back to bring us to where you are, but what do we do in the meantime? Is our intimacy with you going to be diminished while we wait? And Jesus answers that question and offers us comfort by pointing us to the Holy Spirit's homemaking ministry. In verse 18, he assures the disciples, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you." In other words, you're not going to be without a home. And then in verse 23, Jesus says, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." Now, some of you women here are homemakers, and I'm sure as a homemaker, it often feels like you're trying to hold back the tide of chaos in your household. But your job is a hard one. It's to make a home that is fit for your family. A home in which your family can prosper and grow. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He comes into our lives and our hearts, and He works in us to make a home fit for the Lord. This is the Holy Spirit's sanctifying ministry, making us holy, making us like Christ, making our lives and our hearts fit homes for Christ. But anyone who's a homemaker, even if you're a father, you know very often we say to our kids, that room is off limits. You cannot go in there. And that's perfectly right and good for us to do in our earthly homes. And yet, how often do we do that in our spiritual lives? The Holy Spirit comes to make a home with us, and we say that's all well and good, but this area of my life, that's off limits. You're not to go in there. That sin, that's mine. That belongs to me. We don't want the Spirit coming in and entering those areas and messing up our life. And I think at times that's why sanctification is so painful. The Holy Spirit, because He loves us so much and because He desires to make us like Christ, He busts down those doors and He enters. And His ministry is one of eradicating sin in our life, to make our lives a fit home for the Lord and to prepare us for that home that we will ultimately be in with Christ. Surely that's a call for us. to open our hearts and to submit to the Spirit's sanctifying, homemaking work in us. You see, what a blessing it is that the language is so tender. I will not leave you as orphans. Jesus is saying, I know that not having my physical presence will be hard, but I have sent you a helper to make my presence known. And may this be a reminder to us to be mindful of the work of the Holy Spirit and to seek His enabling more and more in our daily lives. As we read the Scriptures, as we come to worship and we struggle to pay attention and understand, let us be seeking the Spirit's work in us. For He promises to be our teacher. Let's pray together.